The lesson I learned tonight, and the true meaning of friendship. These people are my friends, the friends of the friendless. And I was friendless. I was just a bit of flotsam in the sea. A pitiful outcast, shunned by my fellow man. I was a mess. The people I thought were my friends forsook me. Even my own husband. Proved he was just a husband and not a friend. Today was my birthday. And do you think anybody remembered? Nobody remembered. Nobody did a thing about it. Nobody even as much, not us.
Happy birthday!
And happy birthday to you, Wanda Clark, longtime secretary of Lucille Ball, who, by the way, Wanda, I don't know that you know this. I mean, we have real celebrity guests on all the time. We have public officials on all the time, like the mayor, people like that, right? Well, I could see where they're not the most popular, but the celebrities of all the people, the guy who isn't, who's responsible for Chicago's best pizza, for Christ's sakes. I mean, no one compares to you as far as our most popular guest. And happy birthday to you.
Well, thank you, Steve. I'm still celebrating. I'll celebrate a few more weeks, probably.
Can we say?
It's so much fun to hear Lucy's voice. Oh, that makes me smile. I swear, I still get a kick out of listening.
Well, it makes so many people smile. Can we say what birthday it is for you?
Oh, it's way up there, going on into 90.
Well, 98 ain't bad. Happy birthday to you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to talk to you again. My friends keep asking me about you. We read your newsletter.
Well, thank you.
Did I tell you the story about Lucy and her last little poodle, Tinker 2?
Well, this was
when we were...
Yeah, no, I don't believe you told me, and I think this was like Tinker number 4, right?
Well, she had, it was Tinker Toy, Tinker Bell, Tinker Toy, and Tinker 2.
I see.
Was the third one.
Okay.
The smallest one, much smaller than my little Pete.
Yes.
But she always took the little dog with her to Palm Springs after we finished taping a show on Thursday night. But occasionally she wouldn't for whatever reason. So I would take the little dog tour with a studio driver. It's like a two-hour drive from L.A. to Palm Springs. And this was way before bucket seats. So the little Tinker was between us on the bench seat and curled up asleep. And we heard Lucy's voice on the radio doing a public service announcement or something. And Tinker stood up. Walked around but on the seat looking, and she says, it was almost like she shrugged her little shoulders and says, oh, I guess I was dreaming, and laid back down. But to hear Lucy's voice, we got her up, and she was looking for her. I just thought that was so sweet.
That is so sweet. So I have 312-981-7200, of course, our phone number, or you can text. And I do have a text here, someone wondering how you celebrated your birthday. I'm guessing that maybe you went somewhere to crush grapes or worked at a chocolate factory.
Oh, those grapes, that's hard work, I'm telling you, just to get a glass of wine. Oh, it took forever. But anyway, I had a lot of friends sent me some wonderful videos celebrating and wishing me well. A lot of people that I knew, some people that I hadn't seen in a long, long time. And anyway, it was a lot of fun.
Well, what was it like to, and we've talked about this before, but you weren't necessarily in showbiz, and then you suddenly were. And what was it like to work for Lucy?
Well, it was, because I met Cleo Smith. I went to California in 1960 with one of my sisters and her husband, who were in the Air Force at Vandenberg, and my sister Bonnie just says, why don't you go home with us? They were home in Oklahoma City on vacation. I mean, on, what do you call it, leave. So I did. I quit a job at Travers Insurance Company. I'd been there 6 years, drove back to California with them. And when they got discharged, they headed right back to Oklahoma City. But my first Christmas in California was spent on the beach in a bathing suit having a picnic. So I kind of liked it there. So I went down, I went to L.A. and started looking for a job and met Cleo Smith. I found a job at Look Magazine. And it was a wonderful job. And I was in California, and it was just having the time of my life. And it just so happened that at one point, Lucy thought was needing a secretary, and Cleo said, I know a girl. Do you want to interview her? And Lucy says, oh, no, no, if you like her, she's got the job. So that's how I got my job with Lucy.
And what
we
was
stayed
it,
almost 30.
What was it like to what was it like to work with Lucy or for Lucy?
Oh gosh, it was wonderful. It was wonderful. Lucy was a very warm and generous and loving person. She mothered everybody, young and old, and boys and girls, and it was just she was very generous and very. You know, you did your job right, and you were with Lucy forever. So I just lucked out, Steve.
Well, I think you more than lucked out because people love you as well. You know, if you did your job well, you were with Lucy forever. You know, Lucy, you know, because you helped at the time to make these conversations possible, that I spoke with Lucy many times. And on at least one of those occasions, she told me, in great detail about how strongly she believed in nepotism. You mentioned Cleo Smith, and you can explain who she was, but there are her own kids that were on her later show, Here's Lucy. Her husband, Gary Morton, produced. Her husband before that, Desi Arnaz, produced. There's someone by the name of Sid Gould. You can explain who he was, or Von DeBera. But all of these people, in one way or another, related to Lucy, and did strongly believe in nepotism. Can you talk about that a bit?
Oh, I'd love to talk about that. Steve, Sid Gould was Gary Morton's cousin, and enough older than Gary. He kind of, at the time, was responsible even helping Gary get through school financially. And then Steve went into acting, and Sid Gould did, and Sid was married to Vonda Vera, who was a lovely woman, very good actor, and they both did every one of Lucy's series, and they were wonderful people. I have fond memories of Sid. He was a very nice man. And Cleo Smith, that I met at Look Magazine, was Lucy's sister. I mean, Cleo's mother had died when Cleo was young. And Lucy's mother, Dee Dee, and Cleo's mother, they lived together with their parents. And so when Cleo's mother passed away, Lucy just kept Cleo and raised her with her own kids. And Lucy and her brother Fred called Cleo sister until the day they died. Cleo was actually a cousin, a very close and warm and loving cousin. But the kids called her Auntie Cleo. I mean, she was a sister to Lucy as much as a sister could be. So anyway, I just lucked out by becoming friends with Cleo, and I stayed friends with her. I'd go visit every time I went back to California. I'd go up to visit Cleo. She was living in a nursing home at that time in Morro Bay, which is about a 4-hour drive north of L.A. Anyway, Cleo changed my life, that's for sure.
Well, and the part about nepotism, I mean, Lucy was, you know, I mean, you read things later that have been written, but you were there, you know. And she was fiercely loyal, wasn't she?
Yes, yes, she was. And when Lucy first went to Hollywood in 1932 or 33 in a movie called Roman Scandals, the soon as Lucy got a job, she got a contract with Republic Pictures, I think, and started bringing her family out to California from New York. Brought her mother first, then her brother and Cleo, and then the grandfather that Cleo's Lucy's father died when Lucy was only 4 years old. So her grandfather, Didi's father, just was Lucy's daddy at the time, and it's just one big family that was very important to Lucy's family.
Here's Lucy.
No, here's Wanda Clark, Lucille Ball's secretary for how many years, Wanda?
Oh, it was, 27 years, but I'm still connected. I mean, I'm very close to her children.
Yeah.
And people still ask me to do an interview now and then. And like you, Steve, we're still friends after all these years.
Oh, and I'm delighted with that. So,
so am I.
I have text here, and one of those many wants to know, actually, now, two want to know about this. Fred and Ethel. Really, the actors William Frawley and Vivian Vance, who played Fred and Ethel, and the movies and books that have suggested they really did not like one another. Can you talk about that?
Well, I talk about that often because somehow or other those stories go around. But in actuality, the two people... First of all, Lucy loved Vivian. Lucy said she was the best script doctor she'd ever seen, and she just felt nobody could have played Fred Mertz better than Bill Frawley. But the two actors had absolutely nothing in common. I mean, it was well known that Frawley's main interest was a racing form and a few beers or something, and
yeah.
That's not why Vivian was a trained actor and a singer. She had a family, a husband, and I mean, I don't think she probably ever read a racing form in her life. But anyway, they just had nothing in common. I mean, why should they? They weren't buddy buddies because totally different lifestyles. So I don't know where that, I mean, it just made good copy, I guess, to say they didn't like each other. First of all, nobody could have played the parts they played and have any kind of animosity between them. Weren't they just perfect?
And Lucy would talk about how she would never do anything unless Vivian was there until she passed away. She obviously could no longer do anything, but Lucy was
right.
I can't. And the same, by the way, for an actor by the name of Gail Gordon, who played Mr. Mooney and Mr. Talk about him.
Well, Lucy loved Gail Gordon. His timing was just as perfect as hers was. Oh, they loved each other. She counted on his being with him and working with him. But she knew exactly how he was going to react to her and how she would react to him. And plus, he was just one of the nicest people I ever met in Hollywood. Gail was a real, real gentleman. So they worked together very, very well, to say the least.
I don't want to... tell the story. I want you to tell the story, but I want to lead into it so you know what I'm talking about. The doorbell rings. Lucy has some new help at the house who didn't recognize who was at the door. He had fruit, apparently, and vegetables from his garden in his hand. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Jimmy Stewart lived next door to Lucy. Actually, it was next door across the street. Jack Benny lived on the other side of Lucy, right immediately next door. But Jimmy had to walk across the intersection, and he took great pride in his garden. He had trees and flowers and vegetables that he attended himself. And he showed up at the side door, not the front door, with an old kind of ragged sweater and an old hat, with a basket of vegetables on his arm. And when the new help opened the door and saw this man, he didn't recognize Jimmy Stewart, if he even knew who he was. I think they were new to this country from China. But anyway, he just said, "No, no, we have Vegetable Man," and shut the door.
Shut the door on Jimmy Stewart's face. Then
well,
what happened?
He went back across the street and called Lucy, and he says, well, you don't want my radishes anymore. Because even if they, you know, if didn't have an old sweater and a hat on, they probably wouldn't have recognized Jimmy Stewart. They were so new.
Sure.
Anyway, it was a funny story. Lucy told it often, and I loved hearing it.
One of her favorite actors to work with, you wouldn't think she would enjoy working with, because they had such a different way of working. So Lucy would, I believe, rehearse and then rehearse again and then again and again and again. She wanted it just right. On the other hand, Dean Martin would come onto a set. He knew what to do, but, you know, he'd rehearse it and then be off watching a football game or something, and that was it. Yet
I would be off with the golf course.
Yeah, but they loved.
Dean always said that Lucy tried to kill him because he would walk on his set, sing a song, walk off the set, and spend the rest of the day on the golf course. But they were friends, too. They liked each other. And they had their sons were in Dino, Desi, and Billy, the very popular kind of bubblegum group when they were like 12 and 14 years old.
Yeah, they were very.
So they were friends to begin with. And that happened to be one of my favorite shows. It was written by Bobby O'Brien because Bobby, all the writers were wonderful. Lucy loved her writers. She always called them the kids. But Bob O'Brien would write sweet little stories. He wasn't a gag writer. And Lucy did better in storytelling than she did telling tired old gags anyway. So that Dean Martin show was one of my favorites.
Well, in fact, it was one of Lucy's favorites. She told me that, you know, I mean, you expect her to say the grape episode or the chocolate factory, as we talked about her.
Yeah.
Certainly having a baby. Yeah. And I think that she was making a point. I think those were among her favorites. But I think she was making a point that some of the later shows she really liked. And she loved that one with Dean Martin where she went out with a man who she thought was Dean Martin's double for the movies, and it was the real
right.
Dean Martin, and the story goes from there. But she loved that episode. Tell me about, this is something that's been written about a lot also, working with Tallulah Bankhead or Joan Crawford.
Yeah, I was there for that show, and it was a good one. Lucy and Vivian were traveling, or it's been a while, Steve. I do forget that many years ago, but they had traffic of a car trouble or something, and ended up going up to this home, this very nice home, and knocking on a door to see if they could use a telephone or something. And Joan Crawford answered the door. It was her home, but they just says, "Oh my gosh, she's working as a maid. Is something wrong? Is she on hard times or something?" Anyway, it was a good show. Now, the Tallulah Bankhead was way before my time, but I certainly have heard all the famous stories about it. Because as you have said already, and you could say it a few more times, Lucy did all that rehearsing and then would do it again a few more times. And Tallulah was famous actor on stage, and she had all the credentials and all the awards, but on rehearsal she just kind of walked through the part and would say the words to memorize them, but she didn't give it her all from the very first day of rehearsal, which Lucy did and wanted everybody else to. And Lucy was worrying herself crazy. My stories usually come from my friend Cleo, who was there. And Lucy was just saying, oh, my God, it's going to be terrible. Tallulah's just not going to get it. She's just not going to get it. Well, by the time show came around, Tallulah Bankhead was, of course, perfect. And Lucy was so worried about everything, she almost messed up her lines herself. But anyway, it turned out to be a good show. And Tallulah was certainly eminently qualified to play the part and do the part.
Oh, it was a great show, but it's a crime. I am out of time. This is unbelievable. Wanda, it is always such a joy to talk to you. Thank you, and most of all, happy birthday to you.
Oh, thank you, Steve. You know I love talking to you. Anytime you want to talk to me about Lucy, you just call me.
Well, thank you so much, and you know I love you right back. Thank you, Wanda.
Oh, come and visit again. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. As we head to the Northwest.